Welcome back to New Orleans Up Close and Personal. It's your host, Lynn Buggage. As timing would have it, our walk through the Ninth Ward finds me sharing more information about the Ninth Ward on the 15th anniversary of Hurricane Katrina. Now, in full disclosure, let me say that I did not suffer the horrific impact that Hurricane Katrina made on the city of New Orleans. But if anyone who was a resident there on August 29, 2005, tells you that they were not impacted at all, they are not doing a full examination of how this storm changed their lives. With an extreme level of respect, I give a nod to the residents of the Lower Ninth Ward, who once again had their lives tossed upside down, and who even today are still working hard to reconstruct their world in the aftermath. As we weave our way through the vast eastern and primarily industrial end of the city, we come to an area that is closer to the mouth of the Mississippi River, downriver or below the rest of the city that most visitors see. If we exclude the industrial and swamp areas north of the Florida Canal, we will find that the Ninth Ward, the lower nine, is about 1.25 miles from east to west and 2 miles from north to south. There are three main avenues that cross the developed portion of the neighborhood as it spans over the industrial canal. St. Claude Street is closest to the river, and about midway through the neighborhood is North Claiborne Avenue. Florida Avenue then crosses the northern edge of the district. During its thriving years, many businesses that served the neighborhood were located on St. Claude Street or Claiborne Avenue. These two streets also continue east into the neighboring St. Bernard Parish. During Louisiana's colonial era, this territory was developed for sugarcane plantations. Its location allowed for narrow tracts of land that ran to the riverfront to access transportation and shipping routes. By the beginning of the 19th century, the areas closer to the river were developed for residential use and named Bywater. The famed Jackson Barracks was established in this area in 1834. It now serves as headquarters for the Louisiana National Guard and includes a military museum in the old Powder Magazine and in a new annex that houses a collection of items from every American war. Other notable attractions are the Dulu Steamboat Houses, located on either side of Egania Street, numbers 400 and 503 to be exact. The first house, closer to the river, was built in 1905 by Captain Milton P. Dulu, a riverboat pilot, as his home. The second was built in 1913 for his son Paul. Both houses were declared historic landmarks in 1977. Their steamboat and Asian-influenced designs gained great recognition during the 1904 World's Fair in St. Louis at the Louisiana Purchase Exposition. It's interesting to note also that Captain Milton's wife Mary was also a riverboat captain who worked on the river for over 30 years. She's believed to be the first woman to have held a Mississippi River boat pilot's license. It would be as late as the 1920s before parts of the Lower Nine would be distinguished from the upriver parts of the Ninth Ward. That's when the Industrial Canal was dredged. The canal divided the Ninth Ward into the terms now used as upper and lower. The section of the riverside of St. Claude was developed as an urban area first. It is often called the Holy Cross neighborhood because of the large Catholic high school. The congregation of Holy Cross settled into the neighborhood in 1849 when Archbishop of New Orleans Antoine Blanc invited them to assume the responsibility for St. Mary's Orphanage. The congregation would support the city through a series of epidemics, including cholera, yellow fever, and malaria. They experienced great privation during the Civil War, even fearing the political climate enough to consider leaving the city. But they decided to stay. Rains Farm, a riverfront plantation, was purchased in 1859, and by 1879, the need for the orphanage had diminished. So St. Isidore's College was born. It was a boarding and day school that became the original site on which the Holy Cross School stood. Holy Cross attracted boys from throughout the city. It was predominantly white during the days of Jim Crow and segregation. The school complex was devastated by Hurricane Katrina in 2005 and relocated to Gentilly, where a 20-acre campus serves boys in grades pre-K through 12. The construction of the Industrial Canal led to additional development of land along the canal and provided steady work for area laborers for a while. The containerization of shipping in the late 20th century reduced the demand for labor, causing a negative impact economically on the neighborhood. Some people left to find work elsewhere, but many remained and struggled to survive with lower paying jobs. Now, as a sidebar, containerization is a system of intermodal freight transport that uses shipping containers that can be loaded and unloaded, stacked and transported over long distances from one mode of transportation to another without being opened. The handling system is completely automated, so cranes and forklift trucks do all the handling. For all of the money it saved the shipping industry, its growing use resulted in displacing thousands of dock workers who had worked on the riverfront for years. And just like other parts of the Ninth Ward that we've discussed, the Lower Nine was a neighborhood of predominantly black families working to maintain the real estate they owned. It was home to Fats Domino, Marshall Falk, Eldridge Rickhasner, and Robert Pack. And for you Danity Kane fans, Dawn Richard. There were families who knew every other family on the block and enjoyed being neighbors. It was once the starting point for the annual Martin Luther King Day Parade, with thousands gathering to march across the canal to Armstrong Park, the Municipal Auditorium, and City Hall after weaving through the Ninth Ward. The traditions of the city ran deep with marching brass bands and masking Mardi Gras Indians, everyone professing that they would never leave the place they were born and raised. But that would all change. On August 29, 2005, Hurricane Katrina made landfall just east of New Orleans as the fifth deadliest hurricane and the costliest natural disaster in the history of the United States. Multiple breaches in the levees of at least four canals resulted in catastrophic flooding. The great devastation happened in the Lower Ninth Ward, especially the area from Claiborne Avenue back. This was because of the storm surge emerging from the Mississippi River Gulf outlet, Mr. Go, the shipping channel built by the Army Corps of Engineers in the late 1950s. The initial construction destroyed tens of thousands of acres of protective coastal wetlands that once served as a buffer from storm surge for the community. It appeared that storm surge poured into Lower Nine from at least three sources. On the eastern side, it was flowing from St. Bernard Parish. To the west, two major industrial canal breaches, one a block away from Florida Avenue and the second back from Claiborne Avenue. While flooding was the main source of destruction with Hurricane Betsy in 1965, Katrina would knock houses off their foundations and smash them to the ground. A large barge owned by the Ingram Barge Company, ING 4727, was swept by floodwaters into the neighborhood through the breach near Claiborne Avenue, leveling more homes. Even the Holy Cross School and neighboring homes located at one of the highest portions of the neighborhood was flooded. Holy Cross had served as a dry refuge after Hurricane Betsy. It was inundated with water during this disaster. The foot of the Mississippi River levee, the area's highest point, took on some 2 to 3 feet of water. After the storm passed, an estimated 1 million people had fled the greater New Orleans area, leaving behind over 100,000 others, 20,000 of them seeking shelter in the Louisiana Superdome, along with 300 National Guard troops. The city would be without communications, potable water, and electricity for weeks and months after. flooding, stranded residents who were forced to stay in place long after the storm had passed, dotting rooftops across the region as they cried for help. By 11 p.m., Mayor Ray Nagin would report the loss as significant, with reports of bodies floating on the water throughout the city, primarily at the eastern end, the Lower Nine. In Louisiana, the death toll exceeded 1,500. 40% of those deaths were caused by drowning, 25% by injury and trauma, and 11% by heart conditions. And before recovery from Hurricane Katrina could begin, the community would be flooded again in September by Hurricane Rita. Most of you know this story, so I'm not here to retell it. If you want to learn more, visit the Lower Ninth Ward Living Museum. View Spike Lee's movie, When the Levees Broke. Read Phyllis Montana LeBlanc's chilling Not Just the Levees Broke, or catch up on the Atlantic Magazine's Floodlines article and podcast hosted by Van Newkirk. But more importantly, we should all help to find solutions. The story of the growth, development, and betrayal of this region is one of hope and despair. I will share that 15 years post-Katrina, much of New Orleans is back. More than half of the city's neighborhoods have recovered some 90% of their earlier population. But that's not the case for the Lower Nine. If you take a walk through the neighborhood, you will immediately notice the hundreds of empty lots that once held houses. They now hold tall grass that prevents one from walking safely down some streets. There are food deserts, and it's been hard to reestablish that sense of community. Only about 37% of the households returned to the neighborhood that once had a population of 14,000 back in the year 2000. After the flood, about 700 people took a buyout, choosing not to rebuild and instead turning their property over to the state. Some who wanted to rebuild haven't been able to afford it, and those who did have faced obstacles. Many were faced with the problem of a decreased valuation of homes in the area. This meant that the federal money allocated for rebuilding sometimes didn't cover the full cost of construction. Some experienced being the prey of dishonest contractors. Some experienced the ill effects of toxic drywall imported from China. And many experienced post-traumatic stress disorders. Barring the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic, there are good things happening now for the city, and we should end on that note. Crime in the city has dropped significantly. There are new businesses, and efforts to aid the Lower Nine continue. I believe the resiliency of the residents of this neighborhood will help them to rise once again. And as the city remembers the 15th anniversary of Hurricane Katrina, the residents mobilized to aid the victims of Hurricane Laura. It's what we do. N'oublie jamais. Never forget. Well, it's time to call it a day. Let's close this entry by appreciating all that the Ninth Ward has produced and offered the city of New Orleans and the world beyond her borders. Thank you for listening. If you want to continue this conversation, hop on over to the companion website at neworleansupcloseandpersonal.com. Remember to share the experience with their friends. This podcast is available wherever podcasts are heard. Peace out, friends. Bye now.